Luke 4:31-44. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all, and they began talking with one another, saying, "What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she immediately got up and waited on them. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. And when day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. And the crowds were searching for him. And he came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, we do just ask for your understanding this morning. Lord, we ask for wisdom. Reveal to us your message. Lord, help us to receive it. Holy Spirit, I ask for your guidance this morning. May every word that I speak be accurate. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Ladies, you may be seated. Gentlemen, you may be seated. So, pretty interesting, right? I mean, this is a day in the life of Jesus. So just let that sink in a little bit, okay? I mean, we're talking about preaching. We're talking about demons. We're talking about healing the sick, huge crowds. I mean, we're really getting into it now, guys. Like, we're getting into the life of Jesus right here. And this is right in the thick of his ministry, all right? And as we journey deeper, week after week, we're going to see why the life of Jesus is unlike any other, right? And it brings an impact like no other. This account is a day in the life of Jesus. Like, this occurs during one day, okay? And Luke chronicles that as such. So we start in the morning, and we go right through the entire day, right to night. And I want you guys to pay attention, and I want you to see how a day with Jesus on this earth went. All right? This is one day we're going to talk about. And the first thing you're probably thinking is, like, okay, this is some crazy stuff. And if you're not thinking that, and you're not shocked by what's going on here and what's happening, then I would suggest that you've kind of become numb to it. And it's not fazing you anymore because, I mean, okay, if let me just tell you. This is some crazy stuff. This is crazy. Like, this does not happen like this, okay? So what we're going to find in our text today is that this is what happens when people come in contact with the presence of Jesus Christ. And while we look at these amazing miracles, We're going to find people who are broken, people who are hurting, people who are sick, people who need healing, people in their trials, people in their difficulties. And what we find is that Jesus actually takes those things and he takes complete control of them. Okay? And what he reveals by having that control is that he's saying those things are limited. There's a limit on them. They're for here and now. And I have control of them. They're temporary. This is important stuff. He's saying, in effect, I am beyond these things. I'm beyond everything that you're going through right here. There's more, okay? Beyond the pain, beyond the struggles, there's something new happening here. Something completely new that he's doing here. And this is important. Because within our text this morning, within this text, we're seeing things that are uncommon, okay? And if these things are very common to you, we need to talk, because I want to hear about it, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, to the average person, this stuff is shocking that we're going to talk about. And he does all this. He goes through this day, and at the end of our text, which is at the end of the day, he tells us why. He tells us why this day went like this. He tells us why he's here in these situations with these people. Why he's preaching. Why he's healing. Why he's blowing people's minds. All right? Why everything that we witness with him is so radically unique. And why his presence in people's lives sparks just drastic change, okay? He tells us why. And we're going to cheat, and we're going to look and see why. And it's right at verse 43. So look down at 43. And if your Bible has letters in the red, that's an easy spot to find, because Jesus only speaks twice in our passage today, right? He tells us why. In 43, what's he doing? Why is he here? Anybody? Come on. Preach the kingdom of God. He's preaching the kingdom of God. So here's the question. What in the world is the kingdom of God, right? And this is a subject that Jesus is preaching on this daily, okay? But what is it? What does it look like? That's what the writer of this book, Luke, intends to show us by walking us through a day with Jesus, right? A complete day with Jesus. What we are going to see is that the kingdom that Jesus is preaching, the kingdom that Jesus is talking about, is different from any other kingdom that we know of, okay? And when I'm saying kingdoms, I'm talking about governments, I'm talking about anything in power, anything that has control and power over people, okay? Anything ruled by humanity or powers, even in a spiritual realm, as we get into. Which brings up an important footnote, okay? So, can we all agree that evil exists? Do we all agree that? It exists. So since sin entered the world back in the fall of man, there's been a kingdom that's established on this planet. And that kingdom has a king who's the ruler of that kingdom. And that's Satan, right? Can we agree with that? And we, as fallen, sinful humans, we're born into this place, right? We live in this, and we grow accustomed to it, really. And in many cases, we get pretty comfortable in it. But even so, we could still recognize something's wrong. Something's broken here. Something isn't quite right. That's why we can all agree that there is evil in this world, So we got to understand that to really get to what Jesus is preaching about. There is a contrast, okay? There's a contrast between those kingdoms. And that's why, like, from our perspective, because we are in the kingdom here on earth, and I'm talking about before you're a believer in Jesus, I'm talking about before this transformation that's occurred in your life, okay? Before you've accepted Christ, that we are in this earth, and we start to look at these things, and we see what Jesus does, and we see what he says, and really what it looks like is a complete opposite of what we would expect. The first shall be last. Like, that's not how it works. Like, I thought it was survival of the fittest, right? But the meek shall inherit. No, that doesn't make sense to us, does it? This is an upside-down kingdom. I mean, this is important that we get that. And because we see what this kingdom brings and the lessons that we learn from Jesus, it's like so different. It's so different, and it all looks backwards, frankly. And what Jesus says and what he does are just so unique. And so, really, after you go through it, you're almost forced to make a decision, aren't you? Like, which kingdom is really the truth? Because I've been raised up in this kingdom, but yet now I'm learning about this, which is completely opposite. And two opposites, I got to make a decision. So we're going to get into it. And we're going to see how some of these amazing things that Jesus does and how his kingdom is completely unique. So let's start in verse 31, and we're just going to work right through this. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. So at this point, Jesus has started his ministry, and he's traveling around. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's going around this area, and word about him, right? There's some buzz coming up, and it's spreading, all right? And there's this following. He's got a small following that's gathering around him everywhere he goes and where he teaches, right? These people are starting to follow. And what we saw 2 weeks ago was that he just finished preaching in his hometown of Nazareth, right? Where he revealed to his neighbors and his friends that he's the Messiah. And how'd that go? Like, not good. Not good at all. So they reject him. They don't believe what he's saying. And so he explains to them and he says, hey, listen, you guys are trapped in your thinking. That the way that you perceive God is not reality. And as a matter of fact, what you've done is taking what you want God to be. And that's what you guys want. But when you find out that that's not how God is, now you want nothing to do with him. And so they reject Jesus. And they respond to him with anger. And not just anger, but they want to kill him. They just want to remove him totally from existence. Because this isn't what they expected. It's different. You got that? So he leaves Nazareth. And he goes back to Capernaum. And Capernaum is this large seaside port town, city really. And that becomes kind of like the home center of his ministry. As he goes out and he comes back and he spreads out from there, that's kind of like his new home. And now we see how he's received in Capernaum. Verse 32. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. So you see that difference here and in most of the region of Galilee? Jesus is pretty well accepted for the most part. I mean, he's really quite popular with the people. And it says that they were amazed at his teaching. What was so amazing about his teaching? What was it that, like, captivated them? Was it because he was just a very elegant speaker and he was well-trained and he had all the mannerisms down? Or what? Maybe it's because he looked the part. Was he, like, the long-haired 70s Jesus with a little scruff on his face? And, okay, I can dig that Jesus. Let's go listen to him. Why was his teaching amazing? Because it had authority. It had authority. Not just authority like what we think of authority. When I say authority, we all think over us, you know, looming over us in a negative way. But he had this authority where he had complete command and control of what he's talking about, what he's teaching about. He had just a complete control of it. And it doesn't tell us this in the verse, right? But we already peeked ahead, and we know what he's preaching about and what he has complete control and authority about. And what is it? The kingdom of God. Pretty much every time I'm going to ask you a question, you're going to respond with the kingdom of God, okay? So that phrase, the kingdom of God, you're going to find that in the book of Luke here over 30 times. It's like over 50 times in the book of Matthew, and it's found in every one of the Gospels. I mean, clearly, it's an important phrase, and it's not as simple as we would think, okay? So when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, what's he referring to? There's a few things encompass the kingdom of God, and it's really kind of a culmination of those things and how they work together that really show the full picture, okay? So the kingdom of God, as we hear it used different times, it could be referred to as a physical place, heaven, okay? Speaking of heaven. So, yeah, the kingdom of God is in heaven, but it's more. Because if you have a place, if you have a kingdom somewhere, what do you need in that kingdom? A king, yeah. You need a ruler to rule over it. You need somebody to rule over this kingdom. And in this case, this kingdom is eternal, so we need an eternal king. We need a God in this eternal place. And it's ruled by the eternal king, an eternal God. Okay? Now hang with me. If you recall John the Baptist, he called out to the people and he said what? Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand, or it's near, right? So when John was saying this, was he saying that literally heaven as a place is at hand, is near, is coming to us? Like, that doesn't make sense, right? He's talking about a king, a ruler, Jesus Christ, the eternal king. He rules and he reigns this eternal kingdom, and he's coming here to earth. So get ready. So historically, what happens when one kingdom comes into the territory of another kingdom? What do we get? Like, yeah, war, like an invasion, occupation, war. It's war, right? So here's an important thing to remember. Jesus didn't die. He wasn't crucified. They didn't attack him. They didn't want to kill him because he's telling us to love our neighbor, right? That's not why that happened. This is something radical going on here. This is a radical call to change. It's a challenge to what we're taught. It's a challenge to what we think. It's a challenge to what we think is acceptable, to how we view this world, to how we view life after this world. It's all a challenge, and it challenges the current kingdom. And this is really huge news, because this day in Capernaum is showing us that this king, he's here, and this is what this kingdom in action looks like, moving, working, doing its thing. It's important. Verse 33. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So we got to see this. Like, what Jesus preached here, what he was preaching in absolute authority, was so different was so different than what had ever been preached or heard before. It was so far beyond what anyone would even dare to preach, right? That it causes, in the middle of the church service, this guy to stand up and cry out. What's he say? What business do we have with each other? Like, what dealing do we have to do here? What negotiation could we have here, right? Satan has rule on this kingdom, on earth. The demons know this. They also know exactly who Jesus is. And they know what his kingdom brings for them, which is judgment, all right? So now you got this clash happening, right? This clash. And the demons are like, what is going on here? Is this the end? Is this it for us? Because they're confronted with this new kingdom. This is different. It's a new king. King Jesus. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. See, they know. They know what Jesus brings, and they know that they're temporary. They know that the pain that they can inflict is temporary pain. They know that judgment is awaiting them. And the last thing that they want is us, humanity, to recognize that as well. All right? 35, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing any harm. And amazement came upon all, verse 36. And they began talking with one another, saying, what is this message? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. So Jesus, he doesn't even enter into a conversation with this demon. Like, the demon's saying, what business do we have? And he's like, no, not even, we're not even going there. Don't preach my whole sermon. He has no mercy for the demon. He's got no mercy for him. You find Jesus always having compassion for individuals. There's even the most broken, hurting, even the most hated individuals, the very people crucifying him, he still has love for and he still cares for. But here, there's no mercy. There's no mercy for these demons. There's no tender words for them because they've made their choice. They're there to destroy and absolutely just screw up everything that they can to keep creation from coming back to God. They've chosen who they're going to serve. And Jesus isn't going to entertain their lies. He's not going to entertain their tricks. He wants nothing more than they want to completely undermine him. And they want to undermine everything that has to do with this kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so Jesus literally says, shut up. Go. Get out of here. And this demon, right? I mean, this is church service that this is happening. Like, you guys get that? And this guy's standing there, and Jesus is like, shut up. Go. And the guy falls down on the ground. And the demon who's trying to hurt this guy, like, just if I could just one last time, just one more jab, one more prick, one more twist before I leave, just one last bit of pain, but it doesn't happen. And it says the demon came out of him without doing harm. So, time out. Like, let's get on the same page, because in case right now we're like, okay, crazy story. Probably not real. This is real. This happened. This sort of thing still happens today. Okay? People are still possessed or influenced by demons. And this guy in the story, we can't just take his condition and explain it away, like medically explain it away. You know, well, he was dropped when he was a child, and then This isn't that. This isn't psychology. We can't talk this away. Why? Look at the author of this book. Who's writing this book? Luke. Luke's a doctor. Thank you. And what does Dr. Luke say that this guy's condition is? Demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. That's his prognosis. A medical doctor explaining this to us, and he says, okay, well, here's the deal. There's a demon, and this demon is an evil spiritual being, and he's chosen to follow Satan in rebellion from God, and he can enter people and control their behavior. Is this normal to you guys? Because this is crazy stuff. I mean, really? Okay, it is serious, though, and we got to know this. If you're a believer, if you've placed your trust in Jesus, then the Bible tells us that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? You can't become demon-possessed if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot. A demon cannot control a believer of Jesus Christ. They can mess with you. They're gonna. And they can try and trip you up. They're gonna. And they can try to trick you. Maybe they will. But they cannot possess you. Do you got that? And Jesus gives us a great example of how to handle the situation. Notice, like I said, he doesn't even entertain this demon. He doesn't allow him the opportunity to enter into dialogue with him. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. This is the kingdom at work. And what's really cool, though, what's interesting about this, this guy, this demon-possessed guy, where do we find him? At church. Oh, no, right? So even though this guy's heavily influenced and he's controlled, even though he's fed lies, even though he's tricked, even though all this stuff is going on, he still has this ability, right? He still has the ability to see Jesus and to see the message that Jesus brings and the absolute freedom that's attached to it. I mean, isn't that cool? He can see that Jesus, that this kingdom is so different from the one that he's trapped in, that he comes. And he comes to Jesus. So here's this guy. Now he's laying in the middle of the floor at church, and everyone's standing around him, like looking at him. And then they look at each other, right? And they look back at him, and they look at each other, and they're processing this, and they go, what is this message? Does it sound like something they were familiar with? Was this like an ordinary church gathering for them? This is new. This is different. So what Jesus is saying is totally different than anything that they've heard before, anything they've seen before. And he does it with what? Verse 36 says he does it with authority and power. He commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Authority and power. We spoke about authority where he has this complete control of what's going on. But now, in this miracle, he's demonstrating what the kingdom of God brings, which is authority, yes, but now power. As he before has command and control, now the power is this tangible evidence of his authority. This just happened. This isn't just some show. This isn't just some guy up there acting it out. This just happened. This is for real. So Satan's kingdom is now clashing with the power of God's kingdom. And what's happening? God's kingdom is like completely overshadowing Satan's. So there you go. We're talking about a day in the life of Jesus. There's Jesus' Sunday morning, Saturday morning. just a typical church service for Jesus, right? Verse 37. And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. Then he got up and he left the synagogue and he entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. Church is over. Jesus walks outside. He's got all these people now, slightly larger crowd forming, starting to come around, and he's told about this woman, Simon's mother-in-law. We're going to get to know Simon next week, okay? Simon's mother-in-law, and she is at Simon's house very sick. She has a high fever. And so Luke tells us that Jesus goes in, and he now enters the home. Okay? 39. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she immediately got up and waited on them. So he walks in, and he rebukes the fever, which is really what it means is that he forbids it to continue. That's control and command right there. I forbid you to continue. It's a pretty uncommon way to treat a fever, right? Can you imagine Luke as a doctor kind of like going through this stuff and like this, it's got to be just awesome for him. And just like that, she's healed. And not only is it's not just that the fever goes away, but she's like up and at him. Immediately, all her strength is returned to her, and she gets up, and she's waiting on them. Like she pops up, and she bakes some chocolate chip cookies and walks in with some lemonade and sits down with Jesus, and we're going to have a talk and chill out. Tell me more about the kingdom of God. Like this fever never even happened. See how everything that's normal, everything that's expected is just flipped? I mean, simply by his word, by the power and the authority of his word. Verse 40. And while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. So now Jesus now leaves the house, right? And we see the sun is setting, right? Clearly. We're talking, again, this is one day, and now it's dusk. And the people who gathered in the morning to hear him, now it's grown. Like, it grew after the service, and now this healing, now it's getting huge, okay? And Luke says what? That all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, brought him to Jesus. So all the people that have been hearing Jesus talk and teach and then witnessing these miracles, they run off, right? And they start grabbing anybody that they can, anybody that they can think of that they could bring to them. So picture this. It's nighttime in the city, as usually things are going to start getting quiet, right? But now there's all this commotion and people are scattering and they're taking off and they're going out and they're like, family, friends, whoever I can get, like anybody that's hurting, anybody that needs a fresh touch from Jesus, we got to grab them and we got to bring them back here. So people are getting probably carried in there. There's like wheelbarrows with people in them. Like, let's go. And there's all this commotion going on. I mean, it's cool. It's wild. It's not typical, right? Verse 41. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. And so he was up all night doing this, right? And the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. I mean, it's a cool picture of people just following after Jesus. See, Luke really wants us to get this. He wants us to see what's happening here. This is one day in the life of Jesus Christ. This is the impact that his kingdom has, okay, coming to earth. Do you see the contrast of this new kingdom versus the one that's already here? Do you see the impact? So this day, this account of the day in the life of Jesus, it's so amazing because I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but every miracle in this story is a picture. There's more. There's more to it. I mean, you guys know this. If you dig a little deeper in the Bible, you're going to find, like, you'll go down rabbit holes that you're not sure how long you're going to be down there discovering more, finding more stuff. In this, and I'm just going to give you we're just going to scratch because it's cool enough. In this story today, there's a lot going on. And really, if we boil this down, we boil the story down, it's about one thing. And that's humanity being delivered. Jesus preached what? Kingdom of God. We started in the morning, right? In the temple. In the temple, or what we would call the church. It's a picture of the kingdom of God, a dwelling place of God. You got that? Then Jesus leaves the temple and he enters the home of Simon, the earthly dwelling place. God coming down to be with humanity. And then from there, he goes out to all who need him, individually touching each person, touching their hearts, as the kingdom of God just hits everyone in its own unique way. This is the kingdom of God being played out for us. And look at the results that come of this. Look at the picture of what sin or what Satan's kingdom does to us. And more importantly, how there's a way to be delivered from it. So the man possessed by the demon, right? He's a picture, guys. He's a picture of people all around us who are influenced, who are dominated by satanic influence, by habits, by passions, by actions that they can't, if you're in it, you can't deliver yourself from it. You need a deliverer. Then you have Simon's mother-in-law, and she's laying there with a high fever, right? It's a picture, guys, of this burning grip that sin has on us, just pulling us down. Only Jesus is going to give that freedom, that relief. And then finally, we got all these people with all different types of diseases, all these different issues, all these problems, right? It's a picture of how sin, like disease, has spread out through all of humanity, widening its grip. But there's a hope. There's a hope that exists, and the hope comes with Jesus. It's about humanity being delivered. So they're grabbing that. Are they getting it? Are we getting it? I don't know. Is this new? It seems really new to them. It seems quite new to us when we experience it. It's not new to God. Not at all. I mean, not a new concept in the Bible. You could go through and you could really find a picture of this in multiple places. And if you are reading your Bible, and I pray that you are, maybe you're on a reading plan. There's a ton of good ones to read through the Bible in a year or whatever, you know. Or maybe you're just going straight through it. You're like, I'm going to plug right through this. And it could get difficult like that. But man, if you do it, that's awesome. Or maybe you're just taking chunks and you're studying them, kind of like we do Sunday mornings. But I would encourage this, and I am going somewhere with this. I would encourage this. Read the New Testament and the Old Testament at the same time. A little bit back and forth. Don't just stay away from the Old Testament because there's some difficult reading in there. Okay? And don't just cherry pick out what you like either, but read it. Read the back and forth, okay? Because here's what's going to happen. The Bible's going to begin to open up, and then it's going to start connecting. And all these dots are going to start connecting like you wouldn't believe, okay? So what are we talking about today? The kingdom of God, right? specifically two opposing kingdoms, right? So what I want to do, I'm just going to grab one example because it's important that we see that this isn't just brand new, like God's already given us clues. Like, there's already, this story is back there, all right? So if we're going to look back in the Old Testament, we would look back in the second book of the Bible, Exodus. And there's this story that plays out with two kingdoms. The kingdom of earth and the kingdom of God clashing. And the story I'm speaking of is the story of Moses and the Israelites and Pharaoh. So we have God's chosen people, the Israelites. They're in slavery. They're in bondage to this kingdom, the kingdom of Egypt, right? And the ruler over this kingdom, Pharaoh. Pharaoh's oppressing the people. He's holding them down. He's preventing the Israelites from flourishing like God wants them to. So God raises up a man, Moses, to come and confront Pharaoh. And Moses tells Pharaoh to let them go, to let God's people be free. And how does Pharaoh respond? He refuses. In fact, he's even more cruel. And Pharaoh says, "Who's God that I should obey his voice?" Like just resenting, right? Pharaoh has his kingdom. And it's this cruel, tough reign. And then Moses, through God, he starts doing all these amazing things, right? And there's all these things to show power and authority that God has. And eventually, Pharaoh gets spent, man. He's wiped out from it. And he lets the Israelites go. But just as they're going, he gets angry. And he decides that he's not going to let them go. And that he's not going to lose his kingdom, his control on this kingdom, because of Moses and God doing their thing. And on his way to stop this new kingdom, what happens? The sea is parted for the Israelites, and they cross through it, right? And Pharaoh and all his chariots and his men perish as the walls of the sea come in on them. So you see, this is God's kingdom coming, bringing his people, humanity, through the waters and delivering them. The two kingdoms are Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom, okay? God's bringing his people, humanity, through the waters, delivering them. Because God intended our place to be in his kingdom. These aren't our kingdoms. He intends us to be with him in his kingdom. That's why Jesus came. That's why his kingdom is so awesome, because it has the power to deliver us from that grip, from that oppression of Satan's kingdom, to bring us through the waters, to redeem us. So you see how that's tied together? How the kingdom of God is designed for all humanity, and that Jesus comes for all humanity. Verse 43. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is one day, and he's going to keep going, because this is his purpose. This is why he's here, to redeem us, to redeem humanity from this oppressive, cruel kingdom, a kingdom that's full of pain and sadness and sin. That's not God's intention of this earth. He wouldn't have created an earth if he didn't have good plans for it. And he didn't create you and I if he doesn't have good plans for us. plans for what? A future and a hope. And so what does every king need once he has his kingdom? He needs some people. He needs some people that he can lead. And next week, that's just what we're going to see as Jesus is setting up his kingdom and he chooses some specific men to come alongside him. And next week, we're going to start meeting those men. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you for this time together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to grow, to learn more about you. Grow us, Lord. Grow us as believers. Grow us individually. And then, Lord, I pray you grow us as a community. Help us to reach out. Help us to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Bless your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lulu.